Ramsey TV.
Someone asked me, Martin Zender, do vessels of dishonor realize that they are vessels of dishonor? The answer to that question is no. They have no idea that they're vessels of dishonor. In fact, get this, they think they are vessels of honor. This is Martin Zender. I am the CEO of MCTV and the primary talent here on the channel that is changing the world one viewer at a time. The truth coming to you from a cottage in Fort Lauderdale. Sometimes coming to you from my driveway, sometimes. You remember, I used to sit behind the cottage against the wall here. Then I kind of moved up in the world, and I think some people were disappointed. We liked you against the wall. We liked you in the laundry room. We liked you in an alley with wild dogs chasing you. I know. I've made some shows from the cemetery, too. You really like that. But it's really storming out, so I'm settling in today, and I want to answer this question because vessels of dishonor are, we know, made by God. I'm going to get to that verse in Romans chapter 9. Paul's talking about his beloved Israel, and they are a rebellious nation, and Paul is settling himself, reminding himself that God is the one who made them that way. And this should settle us towards those God made hard for a purpose. We can be at peace about it, but we still criticize them. People get after me a lot, and it's disturbing because this is not an intelligent question. It's like, Martin, why, since you know all is of God, since you know that God is the one who makes vessels of dishonor, why do you criticize vessels of dishonor? If you haven't heard this example yet, I always explain it this way. I said, well, you might as well ask me, Martin, since God sends the rain, why do you use your windshield wipers? Why? That rain's from God. Yeah, but I can't see because it's in my way, so I get it the hell off my windshield. Why do I criticize vessels of dishonor? Because they're screwing up the world. They're teaching the world things that they ought not teach, teaching the world lies about God. Obviously, folks, I'm talking about vessels of dishonor, those called Christians. Now, it's obvious that Pharaoh didn't know he was a vessel of dishonor. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew. He was just a pompous guy running a large, sandy country with pyramids on it. So he worshipped his false deities, and I'm sure that this is interesting. Every false god in the universe expects his or her devotees to impress them. Every false god in the universe demands sacrifices, demands right behavior, demands repentance and crying and weeping and sacrifices to try to appease them because they're all grouchy. They're all very, very grouchy. And so Pharaoh served these gods. And so these false gods, it all depends on your behavior, whether or not they will like you. Well, the Christian God is another false God. And the Christian God, I set this before you before, I think that the Christianity is run by the false God by the name of Baal Peor. It is a actual false deity that is in charge of the Christian religion. And this Christian religion does the same thing that all the other ones do, in that the false God of the Christian religion, that is the Christian God, inspires fear in his devotees, and they must impress him, or else they must bring sacrifices to him, or else they must sacrifice themselves, sacrifice their will, sacrifice to give to him, hopefully bring an approach present trembling that he will accept. These are the vessels of dishonor I'm talking about, who foul the name of God, who put him in the same category as the great pantheon of false deities around the planet that have ever existed since the beginning of time. And I'm upset about this. And Jim Corum told me this once. He said, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing doesn't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to go to work today and be a wolf in sheep's clothing. A pastor at a church, for instance, the pastor at my son's church, he doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to deceive as many people as I can today with the Christian God who demands your behavior or else he will send you to hell for eternity. And yet he does. So he is a vessel of dishonor. All that to say, vessels of dishonor, whether they're pagan or whether they're in the realm of the Christian, or whether they're obvious pagans or closet pagans with sheep's clothing. They don't know they're vessels of dishonor. They don't know. They're out there doing their best. There's even Adolf Hitler, I think, thought he was doing the best because the world would benefit from the Aryan race and he would make sure that it was pure. I mean, it's horrible, but I actually think that most people probably think they're doing good even while they're being vessels of dishonor. And so they're totally unconscious of it. In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees that you were of your father, the devil, and that didn't sit well with them. They just couldn't believe that he would say that. Of course, they claimed that Abraham is our father. Jesus said, no, your father is Satan, the adversary. They couldn't believe it. They absolutely flipped their lids because they didn't realize they were vessels of dishonor. They didn't realize that they were opposing God. They thought they were God's best friend. In fact, Jesus said in another place later, those who kill you will assume that they are doing divine service to God. There you go. Jesus to his disciples, those who kill you will assume, they'll be certain in their own minds that they're doing divine service to God. My son's pastor is so convinced that he's on the right track and that he's going to evangelize the world for God that he looks at a guy like me who is actually teaching the proper things about God, that God is the Savior of all humanity, that he's sovereign, that his son died for our sins, rose on the third day. They don't believe any of that. Now, he thinks I am a bad influence on my own son and that I led my son astray for years. You know, that's what this kid thinks. So, no, he doesn't realize it whatsoever. So this is interesting that God hides it. This is part of God making vessels of dishonor. He hides that from them. And it's such a great hiding job that they actually think they're vessels of honor. Yeah, they think they're doing, my son's pastor thinks he's doing a great favor to Paul and to the world by telling him, do not read your father's books. They will lead you astray. They will lead you into the truth. In fact, my books would lead him out of the coming indignation and into aeonian life. But instead, my son's pastor is leading him into aeonian death. And then my son Paul is leading his family into aeonian death. Talk about a vessel of dishonor. Let's find out how vessels of dishonor are made. I'm going to read a nice little chunk of Romans chapter 9 here. For the scripture is saying to Pharaoh that for this selfsame thing I rouse you up. What selfsame thing? Well, the verse that went before, which I touched on yesterday, was consequently then, it is not of him who is willing, nor of him who is racing, but of God the merciful. That is, if anybody is good in this world, if anybody has legitimate faith, then it is of God. It is not of those who are willing. See, the vessels of dishonor in the Christian religion, I mention these because they're the worst. Again, that they say that it's all up to your willing. It's your willing is required, but it is not of him who is willing. This one verse disproves human free will. I got a lot more where those came from, but I only need one. People always say to me, I'll bring a verse like this, and I'll say, this verse disproves human free will. It's not of him who is willing. I say, well, give me another verse. I said, no, deal with that one. I got a dozen more verses. Deal with that one. They can't. For scripture is saying to Pharaoh, for this selfsame thing, that is to completely override and overcome this crazy idea that vessels make themselves into what they want to be. This is an insane idea. You're going to see it coming up here. Vessels of the world, whether of honor or dishonor, as if they make themselves what they want themselves to be. A self-made man, self-made woman? Really? This is rank humanism. It's not how it is, and we're going to see that. For scripture is saying to Pharaoh, for this selfsame thing I rouse you up, that I should be displaying in you my power, so that my name shall be published in the entire earth. And I went over that when I was in Canton. I told you that God's name was published in the entire earth because God made sure that Moses had opposition. And every time Pharaoh started to weaken during the plagues, Pharaoh decided to let the people go. That was the real Pharaoh. That was the guy who had a head on his shoulders, who had common sense. This was a Pharaoh who didn't like frogs, didn't like flies, didn't like locusts, didn't like the rivers turning to blood, didn't like it, said, this is enough, I'm letting the people go. God says, oh, he's weakening. Fix that. Boom, hardened his heart. Made him obstinate. Changed his mind. He gives out the order, let my people go. And then, here's the thing. Pharaoh says, let my people, or Moses said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, now, the plagues come. The frogs, that was a nasty one. That was nasty. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. That's not a good frog, but I wish it was a plague of cows. I could do that better. Actually, I wish it was a plague of turtle doves. But no. Oh, a plague of pigs would have been good. Pharaoh said, after the plagues came, I've had it. You're out of here. But then once the plague relented, went away, Pharaoh got emboldened again. He says, you know what? And somebody watching it would describe Pharaoh's actions, saying that, for instance, his wife. Let's say Pharaoh's wife comes on the show, comes on MZTV, and I interview her, and I ask her, can you describe the moment when your husband changed his mind about letting the Israelites go?
Oh, yeah, honey, I remember the whole thing. It happened 10 times. He was all turning to me in bed like, I'm letting these people go. The locust is all over the place. I got them in my beard. I got them in my underwear. And I can't stand anymore, locust. I'm letting the people go. And then lo and behold, the next morning I saw my husband wake up. The great Pharaoh, the great king of Egypt. I saw him. He looked aggravated. He looked irritated. I said, honey, did you eat something bad for breakfast? Did you maybe put the wrong protein powder in your smoothie? I hope you know that I have rat poison sitting right next to the protein powder. I hope you didn't do it. I tell you what, his face, his countenance just began to sour. I thought maybe he had sour milk. Something happened. And he started to get this grouchy look on his face. And he looked out the window and said, wow, there ain't no more locusts around here. I'm just gonna change my mind. I'm not gonna let the people go. It happened just like that. Just like that. There weren't no influence on him at all, no. He just decided. I think he probably got a taste of that rat poison. And it fouled him up. Fouled him up something terrible. And then he said, nope. He got grouchy again. He said, I'm not letting them people go after him.
No indication on the surface that there was this force acting on him. I didn't see no force, of course, because you're blind to the things of God. And we can't see it either, but we know that it's a fact because we read the scriptures. And the scripture says this to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's wife didn't say it to him. I didn't know it at the time. Well, I know, but still, Pharaoh got it from scripture, or he will get it from scripture when he stands at the great white throne. That'll be an interesting situation there. I'm going to explain that to you because I know exactly what's going to happen when Pharaoh rises at the great white throne. Oh, you want a preview? Okay. All right. Pharaoh's going to rise at the great white throne. And he's going to be judged. And he probably will go to the lake of fire, which is the second death.
I'm sorry, Pharaoh. I'm going over to the new earth. Is that okay? Because it wasn't me. Wasn't me. Wouldn't let the Israelites go. So our son was killed.
So he will object to God. He will say, you made me the way I was. And God will say, I know I did. See, there won't be any argument. Of course, God made him the way he was. Nevertheless, the situation, the way that vessels of dishonor are dealt with is that they go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. You might say that's not fair. I told you many times, fair has nothing to do with this. It's not fair, but it's the way it happens. If somebody falls off a ladder and breaks their leg, is it fair that they get their leg in a cast? I mean, this is, That's what you do to somebody who breaks a leg. You put it in a cast. And it doesn't matter how it happened. Whether you fell off a ladder, or you slipped on a banana peel, or you lost a pogo stick competition, or potato race, sack, race, potato. Doesn't matter. The fact is, this is what happens to a person with a broken leg. So the issue is not who made Pharaoh the way he was. Obviously, God does this because God is God. There's a lost teaching for you. So the issue at the Great White Throne isn't who made Pharaoh the way he is. Everybody there's going to know. It's going to be obvious. Duh. Even Pharaoh will know. But he'll say, yeah, I didn't know that, see? And Pharaoh is judged according to what he thought in his own heart. This is for his adjustment. And he'll realize, I was a vessel of dishonor. God will say, yes. And Pharaoh would say, well, I did play a part in your plan. God will say, yes, you did. I needed a vessel of dishonor. I needed a stubborn Pharaoh, and you were just too damn nice. And your wife was too accommodating. So I needed you to be stubborn. I hardened your heart. Wow, God, I'm blessed to have been a part of your great plan. And I realize that now, and I worship you and adore you. And God said, I appreciate that. Now, we'll see you at the consummation. So this is righteous. It's righteous of God to do this. Now, if Pharaoh was tormented in the lake of fire, tortured for eternity, then God would be a monster. And Pharaoh could rightly shake his fist. You're sending me to an eternal torment because of something you did. But instead, the lake of fire is the second death, Revelation 20:14. Pharaoh goes into it. It's a blink. He's dead in an instant. He's cast into the lake of fire, not dragged into the lake of fire. You notice that, Revelation 20:14? Those names not written in the book of life, they are cast into the lake of fire. It's like, boing, 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 boing. They're not dragged through the lake of fire, like a Vincent Price movie. It's like dragged through the lake. No. And it's instantaneous. And so when Pharaoh wakes up at the consummation, 10,000 years later, after the new heavens and the new earth, he'll say, I thought I was going to the lake of fire. This is great. I got off the hook. And his wife will be saying, Pharaoh, honey, you've been dead for 10,000 years, honey. What? You absolutely won't believe it. But then he'll take a look at her and say, okay, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. You haven't aged well. But, well, that's not true, because people will age well on the new earth. They'll be eating the leaves of the tree of life and possibly drinking Jack Daniels. So Pharaoh will have no arguments. It'll be like he's asleep in the second death. And that's thunder. Did you hear the thunder out there? It's a big storm. I was going to go out and record today. Can't do it. So to him, it'll be instantaneous. To him, he'll be joined with his lovely wife on the new earth. And we don't know what happens at the consummation. All I know is that of the kingdom, there shall be no consummation. The kingdom itself will expire, but the things that came of the kingdom, Luke 1:33, that is the things that the kingdom made while it was in place, will remain for the eons of the eons. That is good news. So I didn't even get to reading the verse that God makes vessels of honor and dishonor. I didn't even get to the verse where the vessel of honor or dishonor can't say, why did you make me this way? But I love this passage, one of my favorite passages. In fact, this was one of the passages that my father-in-law, my future father-in-law, back in the winter of 1982, this guy didn't waste any time. I went on a blind date with my future wife. I had talked to her. We had exchanged letters, a couple phone calls. I sent her a picture. My parents put me through braces, so I had these nice teeth. And they're still pretty good. These are my real teeth, folks. Yeah, see, this is all me. Anyway, I was so happy, and I sent a picture of myself to my future wife, and she said, I like your teeth, honey. I like your teeth. Oh, that's it. That's it. I'm good to go. So I drove out there to Plymouth, Ohio, from Canton, Ohio. It was a 90-minute trip, and drove through some strange towns. Homerville, Sullivan, Nova, weird town called Greenwich. And she told me, when you get to the ugly greenhouse in Delphi, turn left. There was only one house in Delphi, and it was ugly as hell, and it was green. So I turned left, and there she was, and I barely got in the door. And my father-in-law said, have you seen Romans chapter 9?